Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm only joined by one of my co-hosts tonight, Katrina. What's going on, Katrina?
Nothing. Glad you didn't play the whole song of the longest song in the history of man.
Actually, there's an Iron Maiden song that's a little longer than it, but yeah, it's fun. Actually, like I thought about, I actually wanted to get Bad Street USA, but Stevie J informed me that's probably not the best idea because the guy who owns the rights or wrote it, or he's suing everybody. And while he probably wouldn't come after us. Stevie J does have ads and stuff on his site, and he had some kind of problem with something like that before. So out of respect to Stevie J, I decided not to download Bad Street USA, which is one of the greatest wrestling songs of all time. So I went with the original Freebird theme song, and I had Big B actually down make the MP3 for me, because I don't really know how to do that. And I had actually picked out a 10-minute version that was pretty awesome. But he convinced me to cut it down to 9. So, but we'll be playing the whole song at the end of the show. But, yeah, okay. This is one of the first wrestling theme songs that I ever remember hearing. Maybe I might have heard another song here or there, but the first song that really registers in my brain is the Freebird song. And the reason we played that and we're talking about the Freebirds is because, sadly, we lost another member to the world-class curse, as some people say, and that is that Buddy Jack Roberts passed away yesterday. And I'm not sure of what, but I do know he's had cancer in the past.
I think Kevin Von Erich said that he had talked to his wife and said he had pneumonia or something, so...
Yeah, he was 65, which isn't really old, but when you have serious health problems like he had, you know, it just kind of sped it up. And, you know, a lot of old people, that's how they die. They just get like ammonia, and they just, you know, it overcomes them at that age. And, you know, it's sad that he died and lost another person from that group, but, you know, at least he wasn't in his 20s or 30s. You know, I mean, I'm sure he had a good long life to enjoy.
I was kind of surprised he wasn't already dead. You know.
Yeah.
The way the guys ran.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that about everybody who wrestles for World Class. And, I mean, it's just a crazy situation. And I actually, like, there's been, like, a... It hit me hard because, you know, I grew up with the Freebirds and the Von Erichs, and it made me real sad. And I just remember seeing Dave post something on Twitter about Buddy Roberts. So I sent him a link to this one match. And basically, Dave put it on the front. Basically, I think Dave got a boner watching this match. I mean, if you listen to the way he talks about it on the breaking audio and he put it on the front page, and you can tell that's like, when Dave Meltzer is happy and excited about something, it really shows, and like that really shows. And it was like a great time period. And, a great period. And, you know, Buddy was a big part of that. And, he actually started off, he was actually much older than the Freebirds. Wouldn't he have been like about, 15 or maybe more years older than Gordy?
Yeah, he was at least, you know, maybe 15 years older than them.
Yeah, and he actually started off, got his first success as part of a tag team called the Hollywood Blondes. And, He was like the young guy of the team, and he was like the Michael Hayes of that team back then. And I didn't see a lot of that because that's, you know, before my time. I don't know if you know anything about the Hollywood Blondes.
No, I really don't. That was before my time too. So
okay,
I think I was still being born or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I say, it was a long time ago. But I actually realized, and I didn't realize until I heard Dave's late-breaking audio on the Wrestling Observer website, is when I was a kid, you know, I saw Georgia, WWE, and Southwest were the first wrestlings that I saw, and it's hard for me to remember when I actually started watching wrestling because, you know, when you're young, things sort of kind of blend together. But I remember, I've always had this vague memory from, like, seeing a Southwest show where Johnny Valentine was there, and he had a bunch of other Valentines with him, like Greg and a couple other guys. And I always remember after that, you know, I remember, of course, we know Greg the Hammer, but I don't remember ever hearing any more about any of these other Valentines. And, you know, it turns out that Buddy Roberts was one of these Valentines that I saw when I was a kid, where he was kind of, I guess he was playing the brother of Johnny Valentine after he had the plane crash that like pretty much ended his career. And it just kind of blew my mind. It just like that I have that, I still have that memory, and that it actually, he was one of them. And it wasn't like a long period of time, but he was like, he kind of wrestled like Tully Blanchard when Tully was a face first coming out. And, you know, that's my first memory of Buddy Roberts, and I didn't even know it till yesterday.
Yeah, I'd never heard that story before. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, because it was just a short, I just remember, it's like I remember one wrestling TV show where they were all together and they cut promos and then, like, they all wrestled and I forgot which was won and which was lost and stuff. And then at the end, they all jumped, like, I don't know, maybe it was Wahoo or somebody, one of the top faces. But, yeah, it just kind of blew my mind about that. And after that, he just, I guess, was just kind of like a journeyman. I don't want to say mid-carder, I mean, journeyman wrestler, because he was never like a jobber or anything, but he was kind of working his way down in Mid-South, where Bill Watts decided to put him together with Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy and formed the Fabulous Freebirds. And basically, if you know, maybe younger fans may have just heard the name, they don't know about the Freebirds, but basically the Freebirds are, if it wasn't for the Freebirds, there'd be no Horsemen, there'd be no NWO, there'd be no DX. These were like the original gang, the original, more than just a tag team. They were more than a tag team. They were like, you know, cause there's three of them. And it's just like...
Original cool heels.
And that too, the original cool heels, because Michael Hayes is one of the coolest dudes who ever lived. I mean, seriously. And then Terry Gordy was just so awesome and just such a badass. And he really exuded that he was like a badass, and he was just so awesome that you had to respect Terry Gordy. It's like, say what you will about Hayes or, you know, or Roberts, but it's like even if you were against, you know, you hated the Freebirds, you like respected Terry because you knew he could come in and do some damage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and basically, Buddy was, you know, like I say, he was the older guy, and when I was a kid, it's like you think that wrestlers aren't as good as they are. You think, you know what, if I was older and I worked, I could kick his ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like how I felt about Buddy. You know, now looking back, it's like you realize that, you know, Buddy Roberts, while at the time you think he's the lesser Freebird, was really the one that kept it all together, because he's the one that did all the work in the ring. You know, he took the crazy bumps and stuff, and he was also the fall guy. He was the
butt of all. Yeah, he kept others looking strong.
Yeah, he'd go in there and he'd have, you know, Terry or Kevin or Dave or just one of them, Mike Von Erich even, just go in there and just like beat the shit out of them. And he was such a swarmy little dude. You know what I mean? He was he wasn't like Michael, but he was. The perfect example of like, okay, like it's the holidays coming up, the Christmas Story movie, where there's a big bully and his little mouthy friend. Yeah, he's a little mouthy friend in the back hiding behind Terry Gordy, you know what I mean? And he was perfect at it.
In the cartoons, you know, you had the bulldog, and then you have the little bitty dog who's always next to him running his mouth. You know, that's what Buddy Roberts was. He was the little dog. It was always being a smartass.
Yeah, and
he
would
start the fights, and everybody and the other people would have to fight the fights for him. So
yeah, and he was so goofy. Like he'd always take like this, like stupid stuff to embarrass himself. And I'll never forget. Like when I was a kid, I'd watch World Class. They showed it at, I think they showed it Saturday night. And then they showed it like Sunday morning, or maybe it was Friday night, and then they showed it again Sunday. I can't remember, but this when I would watch it on Sunday mornings, my parents would be up, and my dad would watch it with me, and my mom would kind of, didn't always like totally watch it, but she'd kind of come in and out of the room, and she just hated Buddy Roberts. Buddy Roberts was her most hated wrestler because he was just, according to her, just so stupid. Like, he'd try to do the moonwalk. like Michael Hayes does the moonwalking. Buddy would try and do the moonwalking. He'd fall on his ass, and he'd do it all exaggerated, so he'd really fall in on his ass. And my mom was, he's an idiot. Look at him. He's stupid. And I just heard my mom cuss out Buddy Roberts so many times when I was a kid. It was awesome.
Well, he was just like a creepy-looking dude. You know, just like a slimy, greasy, you know, just like a bum.
Yeah, like, you know, and basically he was the type of guy who he had his bag, and his bag basically had his wrestling trunks, his wrestling boots, his
underwear, one pair of underwear.
Yeah, right? And basically he would wear the same clothes they take the whole loop. So a whole week he's basically got one set of, like, out of wrestling clothes and his wrestling clothes.
Yeah, I was like checking out a Rick Steiner shoot interview. He was talking about the Freebirds and said, everybody just thought he was kind of disgusting. No, I don't mean that in a mean way. That's just what the man said, but, you know, I mean, I think he's the one that originated the term the bird bath. You know, it's Missy Hyde about that one.
That's funny. And it also, like, there's, like, the joke where, like, they found, like, some roadkill and they threw it in his bag.
He didn't know it,
and then I think he decided to kind of, like, play it off and kind of, like, kept it in there, like, longer. But it, like, basically grossed out everybody in the locker room where everyone was probably puking their brains up.
Yeah. First time I saw him was really their last real national run with those three was in UWF in 86. They had come in and, you know, Terry Gordy won the UWF title in the tournament, beating Hacksaw Duggan, and Buddy won the TV title, like, later that year from Terry Taylor. And I could see a house show with him and Terry Taylor in a TV title match. He went, like, 40 minutes, an awesome match. And then after that, I think, they went back to World Class, and they did the kind of like the Freebird versus the Freebird thing, and it was where the first, I believe that's where the you know, the Samoan SWAT team first got their notoriety because he was their manager.
Yeah, and he'd be even more, he looked even more slimier when he was their manager because he'd be dressed in the skirt thing that they wear.
Yeah, in one of those Samoan skirts, and he'd have like a lei or something around his neck or something.
Yeah, he'd have a lei, and he'd be like shirtless with just like the lei or like the shells or just like some, you know, island shit. And the skirt and basically like trunk gloves.
Yeah, the last time I actually saw him like on a TV show was in WCW 1990. They were doing like the Southern Boys were feuding with the Freebirds. This was when it was Michael Hayes and Jimmy Garvin, and they were feuding because they said that the Southern Boys weren't real Southerners and they were really from Green Bay, Wisconsin, or something like that. So they were feuding, and then Buddy came in, and they did like a six-man with the three Freebirds against the Southern Boys, and I think Bob Armstrong one time. So that was the last time I saw him on TV.
Wow, I don't even remember that. I'm sure I saw it, but I don't remember that.
He was there for only a couple of weeks that he was there.
Basically, what we're also going to do during the show is what I actually kind of had this idea to do last week, but unfortunately, I had to trick and do the show, and that was since it was Thanksgiving. I found like a link to one of the Thanksgiving Star Wars shows, and I kind of wanted to do like, I don't want to say play-by-play, but basically what like maybe Meltzer and Cornette did on the Wrestling Gold DVDs. Kind of
a little running commentary on the show.
Yeah, so... For this one, I was kind of thinking we could do that for the Buddy Roberts hair match and also the six-man that they posted, but we might as well just do the whole thing. I mean, there's a lot of different wrestlers on there that we can talk about, and, you know, it'll just fill 2 hours. So, I mean, I think it'll be pretty good. What we're going to – why don't you tell people, like, if they want, like, to, like, kind of, like, to watch the show as we're going on, why don't you tell them where they can watch it at?
Yeah, you can go to youtube.com/Cotrera. I have a channel on there. There should be a playlist labeled WCCW, and there's And just quick on that, and there's the this is the I guess the this is the June 17th, 1983 world class Star Wars card from Dallas, and there's also the six man with the Freebirds against the Von Erichs. It was on the front page of the website. They're on there if anybody wants to go there right now and kind of follow along. youtube.com/CUTRER
Okay, cool. So I got my mouse over the screen here. So are you ready to push the button? We'll try and hopefully get this as close as possible.
Yeah, I got mine on my TV here on my Xbox, so.
Alright. I'm pushing play right now.
Okay, so can I see the world class open?
Okay, you're a little ahead of me. I love this intro. I mean, I don't know if anyone can hear it through my headset, but I'll just never forget this music. It was so awesome. It was like, I got so excited and pumped up hearing this for this show. It was like just awesome. And then ends with Kerry Simon there. Anyway, the first match is a six-man between Devastation Incorporated, and it's, what do we got? We got the Mongo, Wild Bill Irwin, and the Fishman. And they're taking on Savo Guerrero and Chris Adams and
Super Sox Jose Lothario.
Oh, yeah, Super Sox Jose Lothario, who's probably at the very, very end of his career. This is like, I guess, his last big run. And I'll never forget Wild Bill Irwin. I mean, the first wrestling chant I ever chanted as a kid at a match was Chauncey. And I still have no idea why people chanted Chauncey at him, but it's one of the things I remember.
You always like Wild Bill Irwin. He's a good wrestler.
Yeah, he was always a good wrestler. He was always around. He was world class, Mid-South, EWS.
Sheamus and his bro kick. It was originated by Wild Bill Irwin.
And he's a ginger, too. Basically, he's got he's a little tanned here, but there have been times where he's been, he showed his gingerness off. And I remember he always wrestled in the jeans and stuff, but then I remember one time he switched to, like, the face skin print in WCW.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, he was a hockey player with, like, these funky ass boots that were made to look like an ice skate. Like, I don't know, it was like had like a big ass lip gloss.
I don't think he could do that kick in that outfit he had in WWE.
Yeah, no kidding. He also did like, he would do a combination atomic drop into a back suit. Like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he and his brother were a pretty good team. It was Scott Irwin, he's another one that passed away.
Yeah, Scott Irwin was he was the Super Destroyer, and they were the Super Destroyers of the tag team. And the first time I saw Scott Irwin was in Georgia when it was Tommy Richards shooting with, like, the Masked Superstar, and I guess, I don't know, the Superstar was hurt or something, but he was kind of away, and everyone thought, was happy that Tommy had overcome the Masked Villain, and then all of a sudden he was attacked by the Super Destroyer, and then it was Tommy against the Super Destroyer and the Masked Superstar, and he was the first person I ever saw do the superplex.
He was one of the first. I think him or Bob Orton are kind of the ones that originated it or something.
And when we say superplex, we're talking about the guys on the top rope and the guys standing on the second rope and doing the superplex. And at the time, this was like one of the most devastating maneuvers out there. And it's funny today, because now there's, they stand, there's like the rope on the top rope, or they'll be stacked where there's like three guys doing three different things.
And they'll kick out of the pinfall.
Yeah, and they'll kick out. And right now in the match, you got the Mexicans going at it. You got Chavo Guerrero, who's maybe a year or two out of his prime, but still had a few good years in him. And
he was the next best one next to Eddie. He and Eddie were the best.
Yeah. And he was like, he had a big run in like California. in like LA, and of course Mexico and Japan. And yeah, he
had a big
feud
with Roddy Piper in Japan. I mean, not in Japan, in California. I think they did a hair match there.
Yeah, and I remember he wrestled here in San Antonio, where like him and Al Madero were like the heel tag team. And then something happened, and then there was like a match where like Gory Guerrero was like the referee, and Al Madero just beat the shit out of Gory Guerrero, and then that kind of like started the feud between like Chavo Guerrero and Al Madero. And after that, you know, I didn't really see too much of him. I remember he was on the Super Clash, wrestling the RPMs and a very skinny Mick Foley.
Yeah, it was him and Hector and Mondo.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, Hector was okay. He kind of looked like he looked like Eddie Nunn on the Juice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his most famous things are when he wore a mask as either Lasertron, and of course since it was Thanksgiving, the Dog the Gooper or Goo the Gooper or whatever the fuck his name is.
I just always thought it was funny they had to get a wrestler to play the Gobbledygooker.
I know, and Hector Guerrero at that. And Mondo Guerrero, I only saw a little bit of Mondo. I just remember like for like weeks they were pumping him up on Southwest saying that Jose's kicking some ass right now. But they propped him up, and then the first match in was like on a show that was actually a co-show with Southwest in Georgia. And they had Mondo take on Ali Bay, the Turk, who was this little short, fat dude who was kind of like a jobber, but got to get a little shine in the match. And I figured, okay, he's, you know, this Mondo's going to make his big win. And they ended up going to a draw, and I just never realized. I was like, what the fuck?
I remember Mondo. He trained a bunch of those WOW women wrestling chicks, I think, for one of the codes.
What do you call it? Why can't I think of the name? Glow.
Powerful Women of Wrestling or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, Glow. Like they had Ivory. Ivory was like Tina Ferrari and she was the champion.
Yeah, that's right. That was that David McLean stuff that he's trying to bring back.
I'm taking friends with Little Egypt and Hollywood, and they're still fine even after all these years. But sadly, like Big Mama and Mount Fuji and the Tilt of the Hunt, they're all like in wheelchairs.
Yeah, I saw like a trailer for a documentary on Glow or something a while back. So.
Yeah. Right now, Chris Adams and the Mongo are going at it, and that's how they kind of brought in Chris Adams. Like they had the Mongo was like, you know, one of the bad guys for Devastation, and just, you know, he was just a big heel. I don't really even know who he was, and. Adams came in because supposedly they had a feud elsewhere. I don't know where, maybe California or Mexico or whatever, but that was kind of like Chris Adams' first big feud in world class.
Yeah.
And the Mongo was just
right
for a little while.
It was after this one he went on to like Jimmy Garvin or something.
Yeah. And the Mongo was just a big guy. It was kind of like the Mongolian haircut where it's just on the top and kind of like a ponytail. And he doesn't seem half bad right now. He's beating up Chavo Guerrero, I'm kind of like excuse me. I was about to talk about like the other guy who's battling ring right now, Fishman. I remember him. I always would get confused on who would do this move because they had Fishman. And they also had Checkmate, and one of them, when he would be getting his ass kicked, would like crawl into a ball, and then the other guy couldn't like hurt him or put a move on him, and then like he's like end up putting the move on them, like, you know, out of it and stuff. And I think it's like maybe it was Checkmate that did that, but like the Fishman, he's been around. I saw him 20 years later, and he still looked exactly the same and wrestled the same. But Jose's in here with the Irwin, and he's throwing some. One thing Jose could do was he could throw some fucking punches. And
he don't look like much, but he can throw some punches.
Yeah.
This looks like an old dude.
Yeah, he looked like a really old dude because he's bald on the top and he's got a belly and he's got some saggy breasts. And, you know, by this time he's like old. But, yeah, he still had to throw some punches and still had some fire and stuff. And after this, I never really heard about anything about him until, like, he came out as Shawn Michaels' mentor on the WWE.
Yeah, hopefully Howard Finkel isn't on YouTube and doesn't get this video deleted while we're watching it.
Right,
or
no
whoever
kidding.
Does this.
I said it's Howard Finkel. He's the one that paid to listen to like Wrestling Observer Live and shows like that.
Yeah.
And Tom was going up to the top rope for flying body press. It's kind of oh man, that's fucking hilarious. Like Tavo gets the pin and all the other guys hit the ring and they're trying to get him, but he's like doing these little like Mexican rolls and just evades everyone and gets out. That was actually pretty funny. But it's funny though, when do you ever see a high body press pin a guy nowadays?
And not hook the leg.
And not hook the leg. Oh, we got a favorite from him. Maybe that thing will pick it up. I used to love that handshake they did where they were like, do the knuckle to knuckle. That was cool.
Yeah.
He's not as skinny as when he first came out, even though he's still skinny. And he is just awesome. A lot of the intro is the footage they used on the memorial song that they made for him when he died. You know, it's had some cool ring here. And then, like, when you watch the video, you'll see, like, before the match, the Von Erichs and the other fans would sign autographs. So they would basically let, like, all the kids just, like, attack the ring right before the match. And it's so funny because as hot and heated as all the fans would get during these matches, World Class basically had a ring around the match, around the ring, you know, to prevent the fans from...
Yeah, it wasn't like a dancer board or a guardrail, like in the later
years. No, it was literally a fucking little string rope, you know, and you never really saw anyone, like, attack them. But who's going to attack fucking Buster Kerry Gordy or, like, the Bookie or somebody?
You know, the only guy I saw was the... Gordy when he pushed that one guy in the video.
That's one of the security guards. You'll actually see him in the video, like, here and there.
Yeah.
And there were, like, two of them. There were two guys that were tall, big guys, kind of looking like him. It was one of those guys that he pushed him. But, like, I was talking about how the fans don't attack the bad guys, even though they look like they want to, but the girls in the audience sure had no problem attacking the Von Erichs. I mean, the Von Erichs were basically raped and molested the entire way to the ring. It was absolutely crazy. They'd make out with about 8 girls just on the way to the ring, dude. I mean, could you just imagine that fucking life? I mean, no wonder they were like all party animals and crazy. I mean. Oh, David Mitchell dropped it. And this is actually Jimmy Garvin's first feud in World Class. And I remember they actually put him over strong. He had like a few matches where he was, you know, he took on like the Johnny Mantels and guys like that. And then he wrestled David Von Erich on TV. And David actually put him over clean. Well, there was, like, controversy because Jimmy Garvin won with, like, a brainbuster. And Mercer was like, isn't the brainbuster illegal? We have to find out. That might be an illegal move. But, I mean, basically, David put him over clean. And it was like, I just remember being shocked as a kid. I was like, what the fuck? You know, I was like, of course he did. It's like, they did it to the point where we're like, you're like, of course he cheated. You know, that's the only way. You can't accept that he beat David, you know, clean. Even though he pretty much did. But, yeah, they had a great feud. And better than the Chris Adams. I mean, I think, you know, that's the feud with Chris Adams is pretty famous. But the one with David was even better. And it led to the first, well, I don't know if it was the first, but to the greatest, still the greatest to this day, the greatest wrestling
vignette.
I always want to say really good. Awesome. Vignette, yeah, where basically they had a match where they had to be, the loser had to be the other one basically slave for the day. So David Von Erich wins the match, and so Jimmy Garvin has to be his slave for the day. And it's just one of the funniest fucking things, because they show up all kind of dressed up, and sometimes in high heels, and basically, they put them to work on the farm. They had to watch the dog. I'll never forget Sunshine Hall with, like, soap all over, watching the dog. It was fucking hilarious. And then they had, like, to do, like, digging holes, and Sunshine's doing the thing with the shotgun where he, like, he's...
She's pulling the skeet shooting. She's pulling the thing.
The skeet, yeah. She's pulling the skeet, and David's shooting the skeet over Jimmy Garvin's head and scaring him to death. And then they have to pull bad to carry, like, bales of hay, and since that's trying to drag this barrel of hay in her height, so falling down. It's just the greatest thing. And then at the end, Garvin finally gets, like, frustrated, and they get into a fight, and they, like, fight, push through, like, a barn wall. And
that's one of the greatest. That's the first big, thing with the women. you know, that I remember.
Like
a prominent woman.
Yeah, like there was like valets and stuff here and there, but she was like the first like hostess of like of a feud. I remember it was a match where David like he put her over his knees and started spanking her, and the place was going crazy. I mean, they hated her. They hated her until Jimmy Garvin got a second valet to be her valet, which was actually Precious, which is his wife. And Precious kind of cost him a match. It was Johnny Mantel. I remember it was like Johnny Mantel's biggest victory. And Garvin blamed it on Sunshine. And then kind of he took Precious aside and kind of like dumped Sunshine. And then they went to go find out what was going on. So Bill Murphy went to the house, and Precious answers in his, like, nightshirt, just, like, going to shirt and stuff.
Yeah.
And at the time, that was, like, super racy. But, you know, nowadays, you know, it's that too much. But, yeah, that started the feud. And then, like, as much as they hated Sunshine, she was, like, over as fuck. I mean, it might be just, like, in Texas localized, but she was more over than Elizabeth was ever over. So they're having a pretty decent match. They keep showing the crowd, and the crowd is just amazing how crazy they used to get for wrestling back then. It's like, and that's just like Texas, like, you know, Memphis or Puerto Rico, Mexico. It's like back in the early 80s, it's like people really, I don't know if people actually believed or they just like wanted to believe more than anything.
Probably they'll walk back in. Most might not want to say it, but I'm sure most of them believe what they were watching. What they were going to.
And it wouldn't be hard watching the Von Erichs and Freebirds because they used to try and just, like, beat the living shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Now, like Jimmy Garvin, I think the first time that I remember hearing about him would be, like, in the afternoons about him in Florida. And then
I think he was managed by, like, J.J. Dillon or somebody.
Yeah, he was managed by J.J., and then I think they kicked him out.
Mm-hmm.
And some kind of breakout. And then after that, he went to, like, the AWA, and he was, like, Rich Martel's. Oh, man, that was kind of, like, he fell right on his tongue. Yeah. He was, like, what's his name? Rick Martel's, like, top opponent in the AWA for a while.
Yeah, because Rick Martel was the world champion. He was, like, the number one contender.
Yeah. And so
Rick Martel dressed up by Baron Von Raschke like a woman to offset Precious.
And then
I think her name was Bertha Von Raschke. Baron's sister.
Why is it every time they have these ugly women and they have someone getting dragged, it's always got to be the most ugliest guy possible? I thought Ronnie Garvin was bad dressed up, but Baron Von Raschke, Jesus Christ. Oh, man, David just hit the fucking Hardy race meme that I think a lot of people have probably seen Hunter do it, but David did it way better than Hunter ever could. And, oh, here comes the claw. But even the ropes, unfortunately. Why don't you talk about Garvin from the NWA, because, you know, now you're like...
Yeah, I think that was the first time I saw him. I remember reading the magazines, like, back in 85, I remember. You remember he and Steve Regal, not William Regal, but this was American Steve Regal, beat the Road Warriors for the tag titles?
Yeah, like, so the Freebirds were actually feuding with the Road Warriors, but they could never beat the Road Warriors. And then they had a match where Jimmy Garvin and Steve Regal was, like, the lightweight champion. He mainly wrestled, like, Buck Zumwalt. And they had a match, and it was, like, one of those matches where even though Jimmy was, like, a top contender, you couldn't take it serious because it was Steve Regal, but they ended up, I think the Freebirds helped them win.
Yeah, it was the gimmick where I think, like, Animal had Garvin up for a slam, and Michael Hayes like came off the ropes onto his back, you know, and he fell on top of the pin. Yeah, I never saw the Road Warriors get beat. So.
I think that was the first time I ever saw. I know they had lost the. I didn't see it, but I knew they lost the King Kong Bundy and the Masked Superstar.
Yeah.
But as far as actually seeing them get beat, that was probably the first time I ever saw them beat on TV.
And I can't remember the. And I think the next time would have been years later when they fought the Varsity Club and did like the heel, pretty long term heel with the fast count or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end they were losing all the time. But yeah.
Yeah, and then they went to Crockett and he feuded with Wahoo McDaniel at first, and then he was in the middle of feuding with Magnum when Magnum's had his car accident. And he got back together with Ronnie when Jim Cornette threw a fireball in Ronnie's face, and it was revealed they were brothers, even though they were actually stepfather and stepson, which I always thought was weird.
And the younger one, the stepdad, isn't Ronnie like fucking old as hell?
Yeah, I can't remember how old he was. I mean, I know he didn't really look that old to me, but yeah, it was like his stepdad or something. So.
Yeah, it was some weird thing. Ooh, David was another big news. David had some awesome news.
I just remember when Cornette threw that fireball in his face, the first time he threw fire, he just balled up a bunch of pieces of flash paper. It was like the greatest fireball of all time.
Yeah, I remember that. That was pretty sad.
I always love when they throw fire. I thought that was always so awesome.
Yeah.
It's like he threw fire in the man's face. You can't do that.
I mean, it's like, what worse can you do? You know what I mean? And I remember the one thing that, like, you know, like, what, you know, Jimmy was like, I can say he was always like one of the top challengers wherever he was until he got the NWA WCW, which he was as a heel. But when he went face, that's when he started, like, sliding down the card. And it's like the same thing with Ronnie. When Ronnie went heel, he started sliding down the card. It's just like when they turned, it was kind of like the worst thing for both their careers.
Although he did have that big run with Ric Flair that one summer, Great American Bash.
Well, that was like when he first went face, but after that, it's like it just he started going down.
He had a big feud with, actually a pretty big feud with Kevin Sullivan like the next year. So
yeah, I remember that was a pretty good feud.
And that was when they put the. You remember when they stole the Triple Dome of Terror gimmick from a World Class and did the Tower of Doom?
Garvin just won. The Sunshine was holding David Blake down, and they just gave him the title. And I think before this match, there was some kind of controversy, like two different times, which was like supposed to be the third match, like the rubber match to decide who was going to be the champion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you remember how all those little territories all had the same looking belt back then? Little belts.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a deal so that way Ric Flair's belt looked so much better when he came to town.
I always liked to pick this heavyweight title belt, though. I always thought that looked pretty awesome.
Yeah, and they had it for years. Until Jack Victory just gave it away to some little kid, some fan.
Oh, we got controversy.
Yeah, Russell's in there. And apparently the NWA board is there because Harley Race was defending the title later, and they saw Sunshine holding the leg, so they're about to announce that there's still no champion and that they have to go have another match. And
who's running this company, Stanley Blackburn or somebody?
And Jimmy Garvin's throwing one hell of a tantrum. The official
specific what happened, and as a result, a leading Luger, she never looked like he had a clue what was going on.
Right, we didn't see him in the six-man match. That match was awesome. Mark Lawrence, he was like one of those announcers that was like so stiff, but he was like in an awesome kind of a way.
Yeah.
That's one thing about Wolf Sass. They had Mark Arias and Joe Mercer, and they were just awesome. And they had like the oldest referee ever, Bronco Lubitsch.
Mm-hmm.
He could barely get down on one knee to make the pin. I mean, he was like watching like a lucha referee with a stroke count. So they're not only just holding up the belt, they're holding up the winner's paycheck. So there's no, no money. So that's actually a smart way to continue the feud. You know, they can keep bringing it back to the tax sellers and stuff. And,
like today, somebody would say, this is fucking stupid. You know, keep holding this title up. But they can't, you know, people bring to it.
Yeah. Well, everyone's just so dated and seeing so much stuff that back then you can keep it real simple and it worked, and now it's like, you know, you have
their hero getting screwed, so of course they want to be able to go up again. So, you know, he had a chance to win it back.
I was doing a rare interview with Bruce Brody. I think he only really did interviews in World Class because that was the only time he was like the good guy.
And he had to do the Von Dersen interviews for him sometimes.
In any business, I guess, make a few good friends. And, man, I miss Bruno. He was so awesome back then.
Gary Von Erich, he called me on the phone in Japan. But I heard that he actually...
The first time I'd actually, like, heard of Gary Von Erich before I watched World Pass, I'd read the aftermags and I'd see, like, the tag teams, and they'd have Bruno Brody and Gary Von Erich ranked in there.
Mr. Brody, everybody knows him. He's not a man of his word. Everybody,
everywhere knows that.
Yeah, they came
out and said you wouldn't show up.
He's not coming. You know, you sort of, you know,
well,
you
he
have
did have a rip for not showing up.
That's so that was taking off.
The only thing
and,
that went
to my mind was 3 years ago. But he always, myself. He always, like, for some reason, him and Fritz always got along. I mean, you never really heard any trouble with him in World Class. I mean, he even helped. He always he wrestled in the Southwest. He'd come in, you know, San Antonio and wrestled for years, but then even when they were having like a promotional thing where Fred Barron was trying to take over Southwest, he kind of like somehow he got the TV for World Class, and then when World Class started taking over, they got Brody to have a match with maybe it was fucking Mark Lewin.
Yeah, it was Mark Lewin. When they killed the town.
Yeah, but he sat on the headlock for like 30 minutes, and that's all he did. And then took off and went back to World Class, and World Class after that just totally took over San Antonio. It was like that's probably the biggest, as far as the promotional war, that's got to be the biggest ass-kicking ever. So World Class came in and basically kicked San Antonio out of San Antonio. So here's a big hair match with Buddy Roberts, and he's got the cream. And he always kind of wore like pink ass trunks that were looking so fucking gayish and shit. And he's got a pink green jacket, so he really looks pretty fucking gay. And yeah, you can see the fans starting to go crazy. And, man, did you see it? It's like a tidal wave of kids just jumped on the far side of the the Iceman's entrance was just as over as the Von Erichs. When they played like We Are Family, the crowd used to go crazy. And,
yeah.
He was awesome. He was doing like a pretty cool green and yellow like outfit.
The first guy I ever heard use the term Rudy Poop. The Rock didn't start that.
Rudy Poo, and then another thing was he would say, like Mama says, to be that way sometimes.
That's right.
And he'd always be dancing. He was kind of a short dude. I mean, he was, what do you think he was, about 5'10"?
He would do the hip bump into the blocks of ice that he carried. I remember in that video.
Yeah, they did like they did a vignette where basically there was like a bunch of blocks, like a bunch of ice stacked together, like you would get out of like an ice factory back in the day, and he just goes flying ass first into the bricks of ice, because that was his finishing maneuver, the butt. Yeah, Goldust stole his move from him. Super Clip. And he had awesome hair. I mean, he had like a big afro that he braided and then turned it into like a mohawk kind of.
Yeah.
Or with like strands sticking out here and there. And Buddy's there with his blonde hair. That's too long, but you can tell he's got a bleach job on it. And yeah, they're blowing the shit out of him. I said he's also wearing a bunch of roach clips on his head. I'll never forget that. One class, the ice bed and cave on there could always come out with like roach clips and shit. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, is back in the day, if the carnival or rodeo came to town, one of the things you could win was these, it was the thing, it was like a clip that was attached to like three leather strands that had feathers at the end of each one of them. And they wore, but basically, they weren't really to wear, they were to fucking get your joint and, at the end, they clip it there, and you hold that instead of holding your joint, so you can smoke your joint off the way through. And I remember, I'd always want to buy rope clips, like when I see them or win them at the carnivals or the rodeo, and not realizing what they actually were until like years later. Oh, I said it was a sunset clip, but it kicked out right away. These guys were actually the perfect size for each other.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, basically the same size, and, you know, Iceman was, I was talking about how, like, Jimmy Garvin wasn't the same after he went face, but I think the Iceman was never the same after he went heel. I mean, he was awesome as a baby face, but I just never liked him as a heel. I just never thought, I just never got into him as a heel at all.
Yeah, he's okay. The first one, he first turned heel was like against Chris Adams in the UWF. Chris Adams took that out of prison or something like that. Or that thing on the airplane. He kind of fucking with him because of that. Throwing a jailbird.
Yeah, they were tag team partners, and then their opponents got jumped, and Adams wanted to help them, and I was like, no, you know.
Yeah, they were in the tag team tournament, and if they had gone out and helped them, they got counted out. But he stayed in the ring so they could go into the next round of the tournament. And then they broke up the team, and they flipped the coin, and Chris Adams won the coin toss, and he picked Savannah Jack to be a partner in the tournament. And Iceman said Savannah Jack was just like an Oreo cookie, white on the inside and black on the outside.
He was a good talker back in the day. I mean, he was one of the first like good promos. And
remember when he beat Kerry Von Erich for the title when the lights went out?
Yeah. And then he got those ugly ass Tigman tattoos. Like he had a cool ass like I don't know, Star of David, or he had like something on his chest, and then when he went heel, he put like fingers next to it and just looked stupid, I thought.
Remember he came with Brickhouse Brown like in latter days, like the Black Birds or something?
Yeah. He was just doing like a little juke. He was a good little dancer to get the crowd going. And right now he's got Buddy in the rope beating the shit out of him. Why don't you talk for a minute? I need to get somebody to drink and break that and drop.
Okay. Other matches on this show that I don't think it actually are going to be on this, what we're watching now, they had some Japanese matches. Had Tenru defeated Johnny Mantell. They also had a ladies' Mexican women's title match.
What was the Japanese match again?
Tenru beat Johnny Mantell.
It's weird that they had Tenru come in. I guess that's just kind of like odd to me. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. And they also had a Mexican women's title match with Vicky Carranza beat Lola Gonzalez to win the title. We also had Jumbo Sherrod went to a draw with Ted DiBiase. And let's see. Giant Baba beat King Kong Bundy. So.
Wow, dude, that's actually too bad the Sherrod match isn't on there. I'm sure that would have been awesome.
I know.
I mean, how does that even come to DM? Because you got Sherrod from Japan and then Ted DiBiase, who was more Mid-South than world class. I know they used to have a talent exchange, but that's kind of weird.
Mhm. Yeah, I don't know what the deal was. I was kind of shocked when I saw it on these results here. So.
And then Giant Baba against King Kong Bundy, I mean, that's kind of a surprise. I remember back when I started watching World Class, because King Kong Bundy still had hair. I'll never forget that, man.
He looked so weird. He looks so weird. If you see him versus King Kong Bundy,
yeah.
And see with hair,
and he was always like wide, like he's one of the widest wrestlers. Like you could show like a movie on his back, but he was actually as big as he was. He could actually move around when he was in world class. And I think his original name was Sweet Daddy Bundy.
Yeah.
And he was like kind of like a protege of Fritz. And then he turned on Fritz. And didn't Fritz beat him in his retirement match?
That's right. Uh-oh, we got the pin here. Uh-oh.
And they got... I said I got for a pin, but Buddy reversed it, and he pulled his trunks, and he pulled his trunks so much that they had a new spot covering his ass.
Well, this was played on ESPN at the time. This Legends World Class show, so...
But I remember, I mean, when I saw it on, like, the real TV, I forgot how they kind of edited it. But he basically had all his shit hanging out. Because, I mean, he didn't just pull his trunks. He pulled his trunks kind of off almost.
I think I've seen Ric Flair's bare ass more than any other wrestler in professional wrestling.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. But up until, like... I mean, this is the most ass we've probably seen in the match. And Buddy's like attacks Iceman, he's going down, and now he's got the screen in his hand, and he's getting ready to put it on the Iceman, who doesn't really have that much hair. I mean, it's not that it could have been a big loss. And now Manning's trying to take the screen, and the Iceman makes a comeback.
Why didn't he want him to use the screen? He won the match.
I know, why would he take, the butt right through the face, and Buddy is out cold. And now he's got the cream. Well, why did he stop him? Because that was the thing. He won the match, so he should have put it on.
Maybe because the cream's supposed to be so dangerous, you don't want to use it on somebody.
Oh, there it goes. He's putting it on Buddy. Buddy's flailing away. He looks like he's just got whipped cream all over his hair. Yeah, like some real thick shampoo or something. Buddy is acting like his hair is melting away, like it really is acid. is that just
probably
a jar
of mayonnaise or something?
Right, it's like mayonnaise or something like that. And
some of that marshmallow whipped cream stuff, the marshmallow cream or something.
Yeah, yeah. Michael Hayes is mad and he's covered his head. And, oh, now Michael and Iceman are going at it. And Iceman making a comeback on Hayes. And now he wants to put the hair cream on Hayes, but Hayes takes off.
Uh-oh.
That would have been a travesty if he would have put it on Michael Hayes. So now Hayes has got Buddy all covered and is taking
him out
of
the... Did the Freebirds, like, go to whoever's in charge here? Because he did win the match.
Yeah, well, the person in charge was Fritz, so it was...
I've always wanted to see a hair match where at the beginning of the match, like the baby face has already shaved his head, so it's like you fuck the heel right at the beginning of the match.
Right. Okay. But the one thing about world class is like you had the head referee David Manning, who was like the first ever baby face referee. And then he had Fritz, like, it was pretty much a new kind of Fritz was kind of, like, in charge. So it's like, it was one of the most biased to the baby faces territories ever. And now they're going to have a match with Kamala, and he's taking on three guys, which is weird.
He's taking on Mike Bond, Manu Sane, and Popo Yatsu. This is a Yatsu from, like, All Japan.
Really? He didn't look like too much of this today. But Hussein is kind of
these Texas handicap match is what this is.
Yeah. Like, but it's surprising that Hussein's in there because Hussein was like a bad guy, and when you think they'd want to have Kamala beat up the babyface stoppers, and but Hussein, I remember Hussein would always be like Gary Hart's assistant in H&H Incorporated. And,
Mike Bond. You know? Has there ever been a more of a jobber's name? Mike Bond. That's a jobber name.
Hey, goddamn, he's got a shitty ass haircut.
Looks like no Mo fatigue. From the Three Stooges.
Holy shit, Kamala's doing like his protests and just jumping around. It's like, sadly, he'd never be able to do that again. Oh, and he just threw down all three guys and threw a strafe. I mean, he was such a
You should be thankful that he's saving money on shoes.
Well, the last time I saw him wrestle, he wrestled in the sandals. So. But he's just throwing these guys around like nothing. And, yeah, dude, it's just amazing now how, like, most people remember him being the job of comedy guy. And, like, right now, he's just in there beating the fuck out of three dudes like nothing. And the All Japan guy is getting no soul with his karate chops. He looks like a skinny Mr. Saito.
Yeah. A little bit taller.
Yeah. But the back when Saito was on, before he got on the juice, and got all jacked up and funky. So Kamala just throwing these dudes around like fucking nothing. You know, you can, like, talk a little more, dude. You're killing my voice.
I was yawning. I'm sorry. Mike Bond with a right hand. A big splash by Kamala on Yatsu. 1, 2, 3.
That's all for Yatsu.
Yeah, but I think he's got to beat all three of them.
Well, that's not fair. I bet they're doing it because he's black.
We're taking out another black dude right now.
And the whitest white dude you've ever seen.
Right, bro. Whitest white dude you've ever seen. The most out of shape Japanese dude you've ever seen. And then Hussein.
And just your random terrorist named Hussein.
And you can tell Kamala's getting blown up. But he hasn't been wrestling in a long time. And I think Hussein and the Japanese guy are taking off. Yeah, he's like, fuck it, I'm not wrestling no more.
He just leaves the poor white boy in the ring. Hey, fuck this.
He's going to take vengeance for all the African slaves that were taken away.
He tries to pin the man who's on his stomach.
I know, I always used to laugh at that. He'd always do like the... He'd always slap the guy to the back and not the front, and then he'd want to pin them while they're laying the other way. Oh, he pulled him up. He hasn't had enough.
Well, that's not very sportsmanlike.
Right?
He's going to give him another splash.
He didn't get a whole lot of height in his splashes.
No. He got more height than his leapfrogs.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, Jerry Blackwell got more height on his splashes than Kamala did.
Now, is this Friday or Kimchi?
This is Friday.
Okay.
And we look for another splash. It's just like splashes. Oh, here goes Brody.
Uh-oh. Running.
Brody and his awesome boots and greatest boots ever in the history of pro wrestling. I don't think Kamala was put on his feet, off his feet the whole match, but here came Brody was like one big old axe handle and put him down, and that was it.
Yep.
He was going crazy and stuff. Oh, Kamala's getting up Friday now. He's so mad. But that's like the only time they touch, you know what I mean? They keep them separated and build it instead of having them like start fighting all over the arena like you see nowadays.
Yeah.
Poor Friday's off, Pucker. He's trying to hold Kamala's ankle to hold him back.
He know it, boy. He used to manage like 50 guys on the roster, didn't he?
He had like one third of the roster, basically. He
yeah.
had all the main heels at one Von Erich. And I remember I used to get mad at the fans because every once in a while they'd have the Freebirds fight Devastation Incorporated. And the Freebirds would actually be faces. And I was always like, what the fuck? Man, everyone should be cheering Devastation, not the Freebirds. That's fucked up.
The Kevin Von Erich in here, and I think he's facing Harley Race for the NWA title. That's right.
Yeah. And Kevin, man, he's always put together. I mean, he's kind of like, I don't want to say, he's not like Rick Rude was, but he's one of those guys where basically every muscle in his, like, you know, chest and stomach, you know, you could see.
I always thought it was stupid that he didn't have no shoes on. I always thought what barefoot was so fucking stupid.
I remember when he actually had boots on.
Yeah, I remember that too.
And then he just took them off. And
I don't want to walk around a wrestling arena with no shoes on. That's like something bad.
You know, right? You know why I think he did it though? Is because those ropes, the ropes on World Class were so loose. I think that's the only way he could do his fucking flying body press.
Yeah, just get a little more stability without having any boots on or something.
Because, I mean, those things are like loose as hell. They're not like the WWE ones, I mean.
Yeah.
You had to have, half the wrestlers would kill themselves if they went into the top rope in World Class. On their... That kind of reminds me of, like, they had, okay, you remember one half of the Nambu Express, Ray Candy? Big, kind of, he wasn't that tall, just fat, black guy. And they did a gimmick where they put him in, like, a full bodysuit and mask, and it was kind of like half red, half orange kind of thing. And he was called the Superfly. And his big maneuver, he'd kill everybody, is he'd go to the second rope and do like a splash from the second rope. But there's no way Ray Candy would have fucking killed himself if he would have gone on the top rope in World Class the way those ropes were. But he'd do like the second rope splash, and then he had like a short run where like he feuded with Bugsy McGraw at first, and then he had a thing with Kerry. And basically it just leads to the big spot where Kerry just body slams. Body slams him and looks awful because he was just Ray Candy. I mean, he was just one of the saddest dudes out there at the time.
And he was one of those, he's kind of like Mabel. You know, he's fat, but he was very, very tall.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, I'll never forget the Zambui Express, him and Bad Bad Leroy Brown. I mean,
yeah
they were awesome. What's the deal with Hardy's, like, what do you call that? Like, that beard shit that he has.
I don't know. Didn't Triple H have that a few years ago?
Yeah, he had it even more crazy than Harley Race. Like, lamb chops or something?
I don't know. I think, didn't Ole Anderson have the same thing back in the, like, the older days?
Yeah, exactly. Weird. And Harley Race is so funny because he's just like, he always looked the same. Like, even the first time that, have you seen the footage of when he won the first title the first time? I mean, he's blonde, but that's like the only difference. He looks the same, and that's like fucking 20, 30 years before this match.
Yep.
But Harley was always awesome. He's just one of those old dudes that he didn't like look like too much, but you knew he could kick ass. And even though he didn't look like he was in the best shape, I mean, he could like wrestle for an hour easy. I mean, he's kind of like an Adrian Adonis type where like they're way better athletes than they look.
Yeah. And would take those goofy bumps at some point. You know, he'd do something where he'd get like knocked over the top rope and knocked over the ropes backwards and just fall flat on his face on the apron. I always remember that spot.
Or he'd be on the edge of the ring and he'd just like stagger, you know. And like he'd fall back, but it'd take him like 2 minutes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, just like the slow. Ooh, Kevin was an awesome dropkick. And if Harley Race, he basically made almost all of Von Erich just himself. I mean, he gave him credibility outside of Texas. It's just amazing how he would do that because, you know, when you're the champion, you have a lot of pull, and you don't have to put people over. You know what I mean? And he did it for David when in St. Louis, where he's the champion, and David's the young up and coming. I mean, this is way before the Von Erich series. And he's basically the thing was that. He was saying that David wouldn't stand a chance against him because he's the champion, and the only way that David could beat him is if he teamed with his father, Fritz, who was like a former AWA world champion and just a, you know, bad dude. But that was like the only way he'd have a chance. So they had a handicap match on TV, and basically it's not that long of a match. It's basically just David just goes fucking crazy on him. And just pins him without ever tagging his dad, and Harley just put him over so clean like that it made David a national star, and you know, just gave him all kinds of credibility. And then he did the same thing basically with Kerry, where I guess he had lost the title, or maybe it was the match was made when he was a champion, but then he lost the Flair or something like that, and then. You know, he has the match with Kerry, and he just puts Kerry over so strong. I'll just never forget Kerry having the sleeper on him. And he was just, like, bleeding. And it basically looked like blood was coming out of his eyes the way he was bleeding. And Kerry had the sleeper on him. I mean, it was incredible.
I think this was maybe his final NWA title reign right here. In 83.
Yeah. This is when he had beat Flair, and then he lost back to Flair at the Starrcade.
They may have been, they did a quick one, like, in New Zealand, I think maybe after that Starrcade, maybe next year, but it was, like, for a couple of days, about a week.
Yeah, just one of those that they never recognized. There was, like, a bunch of titles switches, but that was like that.
So we go from, We go from Harley Race and Kevin Von Erich to watching Adam Pearce and Colt Cabana fight for the NWA title. There's a drop off there somewhere.
Right? There's Harley, he's hanging out of the ring, basically just like holding on by like one leg.
I remember when he would he'd do the thing where he's hanging on by his legs like out of the ring, and the person would come and just move his legs off the rope, and he'd fall his head on the back of his head on the outside of the ring.
And the way he sells is just so awesome. I mean, he just sold an atomic drop like he was killed.
He's the first one I think I saw do like a headbutt off the apron to the floor. That was such a weird move.
Oh, yeah. He's also the first. Didn't he ever take the first table bump on TV?
I think maybe at least the first table bump in the WWF. Kevin was trying for that body scissor right there and fucked up.
we fucked up, and Fritz and Hardy's, oh, shit. Kevin just, Fritz had, I mean, Hardy, like, hit a knee and looked like, you know, to save it, and then all of a sudden, Kevin just does this, like, weird flip stand-up thing and like, jumps up.
The table bump was like what ended his career in the first place. He took that table bump from Hogan, and there was a metal band around that table, and it recoiled and it hit him, and he had to have like a surgery on his intestine or something.
Yeah, I remember that was pretty ugly. Yeah, Kevin got the claw on him. If they were like Hardy, I mean, I love the Ric Flair induction that he gave him at the Hall of Fame. That was pretty awesome.
Really, the first time I really saw a lot of him was as the King in the WWF. I didn't get to see a lot of him in the older days.
I remember, I think maybe the first time I saw him was on Georgia. They showed the match when Dusty beat him for the title.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I also remember him wrestling Tommy Rich. And I'll never forget Tommy Rich's, like, they had a match and I think maybe like Tommy's hometown or his mom was there in the audience, you know, sitting in their front row. And Hardy's beating the Tommy outside the ring, and Tommy Rich's mom gets so mad that she goes up behind him and she starts like hammer fisting him. and Rich just like turns around and he doesn't like really do anything, but because he's kind of like looking at her kind of threatening, like Tommy Rich just went fucking crazy and just started beating the shit out of him.
Kevin's like a monkey. He's just wrapping his legs around the guy.
Yeah, he did that little flip thing again. The one thing, though, about those leg scissors is Kevin actually could look like he pulled it off because that's one thing he had is he had some big-ass fucking thighs. I mean,
yeah.
He was like a frog, basically. And, he has, you know, you take back, you know, to keep the base standards. He's not, like, really a high flyer, but back then, I mean, he actually really was. his flying back body press is, like, one of the most exciting moves from, you know, back then. And then today, you know, it's like people really get that kind of a movement. Second thought, you know.
Yeah, he had that, and I remember he had a drop kick off of, like, the second rope or something like that.
Yeah. That's the thing that Von Erichs are good at, was fucking drop kicks, all three of them. I mean, even Terry.
This first time I ever saw anything do a triple drop kick.
Yeah.
Six-man against the Freebirds, and I think it was, like, Kevin and Terry and David did a triple drop.
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, they blew away the Rock and Roll Express and double drop kick. I'd be like, how can someone survive a Von Erich triple drop kick when the Rock and Roll Express are pinning people with a bit of jungle drop kick?
Yeah. I always thought that was kind of a lame move anyway. The double drop kick really going to keep you down for that long.
Right. I never understood either. How come? Oh, speaking of drop kicks, that was fucking beautiful. He just kind of ran the face. I mean, he just jumped so high, he got like ran the face. That was awesome. But
that's actually kind of a little more devastating when he doesn't have any boots on.
Right? He has the best one of the three, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And, God damn, I can't wait to talk about that. God damn, what the fuck was I going to say? Oh, well. The one thing about Kevin is you really have to beat the crap out of him because it's almost like he thought wrestling was real. He's one of those guys that, you know, he was stiff and he didn't seem to care.
Yeah, that's what I always heard from, like, certain people. He's just out there. He's going full bore, just beating the shit out of you.
I remember, like, on the Chris Adams, like, shoot, he was talking about, you know, him and Gino would take him outside and power drive him on the concrete just to try and slow him down. Or they do their best to try and slow him up as much as possible.
He may have been the toughest of the Von Erichs.
Yeah, he was a fighter of the three, that's for sure. Ooh, big ass shoulders. Breaker.
I just remember when there was a thing where actually I don't know the Freebird that attacked him like in the dressing room in Fort Worth or something, and then he came out during like what was supposed to be a six man and he was all bloody and he just beating the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, he started beating the shit out of Davis. Yeah, he's like he's a guy. He had like the bandage around his head and like dry blood, and yeah, he just came out and started hitting everybody. He was the most intense. I mean, he was one of the most intense wrestlers ever. I mean, that's who made like the few with Chris Adams and the Freebirds and all that work. Because I mean, he made you believe it was real, basically.
He was not a fan of cats, I heard.
Oh yeah, supposedly he took like a saw blade, like a round one, and threw it at a cat that was always hanging out in one of the dressing rooms and just like killed the poor cat.
Yeah, that was I remember I was watching an interview, Jack Victory and Tommy Rogers told that story, so
yeah. I think Jack Victory told what I've heard before. But they were all just standing there, they're all just looking in shock, like, what the fuck? And then Jack Victory told a story where, like, they're working. It's Jack and Tatum against Kevin and against Kevin and Kerry. And they just worked them that night, and they're going to like another town, and at the airport. And he walks. Here comes Kevin walking with no shoes on at the airport, and then he's like. He's like, hey, guys, and he couldn't remember their name. He's like, who are you guys working tonight? And he's like, who was working that night? We're working that night. He don't even know our name. But I hear it's, like, amazing that he was alive, because I heard he was, like, he was might have been the worst at, like, at one point you know, of all of them into, like, the pills and stuff.
Yeah. I remember he almost died in the ring in that six man, like in 87 or something like that.
Oh, he's got the claw back on Harley. Yeah, so Tommy Rogers had to give him CPR and then get stitches, like, you know. Basically, give him a hard time after about it. In fact, more embarrassed that he just asked to save his son or whatever.
I told Chris to fuck off. He said something like that to me.
Yeah, right. Me too. So one thing, they're showing like one of the cameramen kind of got caught when Kevin was flying out of the ring. But the one thing I remember about World Class is all the cameramen had kneecaps.
Yeah.
Because they would jump in the ring. They were like that was like one of the first shows where they would actually. Where they would actually get into the ring and start, you know, filming from inside the ring. It was crazy because it looked weird. Like, it looked awesome on TV, but then it looked weird on when you watch it live sometimes. Uh-oh. Kevin's hurt. David's kind of, like, there to kind of, like, pick on him. And Harley just kicked him, and now David's he just jacked up Harley, so now it's going to be a DQ.
Uh-oh,
big. He just gave Harley his own big knees. He is disqualified. And poor Kevin got disqualified. And I don't know how many times the Von Erichs got screwed from a disqualification or something from winning the world title from Harley or Starvis Flair. But
if this was done like today, Kevin would be beating the shit out of his brother for tossing him the match.
That's right. That's good. But everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download the stream of show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. So check out AngryMarks.com. And, David's got the belt. This was about the time when they were actually considering David to win the world title.
Yeah. You ever seen any of his heel run in Florida?
I've never seen any of it.
Yeah, I saw some of it on YouTube. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I think he'd make it awesome. You know, I mean, he was the one, he was like the only one, well, besides Fritz, Fritz was an awesome promo, but he was the only one that could set a promo out of all the promos.
Yeah.
Oh, he's about to hit it with the belt, but man, he's saving. Oh, Kevin got a lot of kicks. Kevin with a cheap shot kick and knocked him down, and now David throws the belt on top of Harley Race. Yeah, Kevin's like telling the arm that Harley was working on the arm, and David comes and like kind of pats him on the arm, and Kevin seems to take a bump to the ground. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah, how much time is that time? It's about 12 minutes left. So I guess the Terry, what's that, Terry and Brody?
Yeah.
I guess this show went over like two weeks. The show was on TV.
Yeah, it was like a two-week TV show on a World Class show.
Including the Freebirds. And the outcome of this is going to happen right here for you a little later on. Well, by the way, Bruiser Brody, the team with Terry Von Erich, and all of you said that Brody wouldn't show, but he did. I still can't believe he showed, man. Every time I got to come to Texas to wrestle, it really makes me mad. You know, I'm a world champion besides the American Tag Championship. You see, this is what makes me and Terry and Buddy proud. And we don't have to ask anybody for nothing. We never asked since we were kids. And every time I go home to Georgia, you know, it makes me good. So if I bring my chickpeas and Land of Life baby some money home, because I'm a champion. Because it ain't no problem beating up on Terry Von Erich. Because he was too stupid to take the world belt when I gave it to him. Because he was too stupid to keep persisting and wanting a free bird. And then he went and got Bruiser Brody, man. It's one thing to have to put out my tag title, but to fight those. He's an animal. He's wild. Oh, you love it, don't you? Look at it. You love it. You've been waiting a long time to see somebody you thought could get a hold of the Freebirds, ain't you?
Something, man. Well, you might be big, but I got a brother that stands 290 pounds of walking, talking, roping, stomping, graveyard destruction, baby. He don't back up from nobody, man. And he'll protect me. Mark my words, I don't care what it takes. When it's all over, we're still going to be the American Tag Champ, Brody. And I hate you.
And he's got to be like top five from him all time.
Michael Hayes, that's Terry Gordy.
Right, there goes the Freebird. Playing.
You wait up like that, you get a protest. Wait there,
right? This is it. What's so funny is like they have these, you know, like sequin outfits that kind of match, and you know it works for Hayes, but it's like, why the fuck is Terry Gordy wearing that?
Yeah.
That's like Terry Gordy should not be wearing turquoise. Oh, here come Terry and Brody. I used to love those footage of Brody would go crazy in Japan and just start running through the crowd, and little Japanese people would be running for their lives. Oh, shit, they're actually playing the Star Wars theme.
No, are they? You said they had new levels and new Angry Birds Star Wars come out yesterday?
I haven't played them yet. I'm going to wait till I clear out the Death Star, all three levels, and then go to it. the way I do Angry Birds is like, you know, when I get to like when I was in Pitcher Wing, like I go one by one, like I'll do one and then do two, three, you know, so I do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then whichever one, I just got the one star, then I do those until I get those all, either two or three. And then after I get them all off of one, then I do all the twos until I get three. So I just finished. I actually just finished Pinto Wayne yesterday. All three stars.
I just go for three stars on my first time I play it, every time.
I had to actually use it. I hate it when I have to use YouTube, but there's... They always have, like, one or two where it's, like, the first fucking one bird, and you have to do it just fucking totally right.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, the one I was having trouble with is one with the Obi-Wan bird, where
uh-huh.
he has to fly around the little world, and then, like, hit the three things underneath, and it's like you gotta hit it perfect because if you don't hit it perfect, he'll turn too far or turn too in, and it's just gonna drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, once I finish out the Death Star, I'll pick up a new one. It's off, right?
Yeah.
I don't care if it's in your mama's backyard. I don't care where it's at. I'll fight you for free. All I gotta say is you meet me in a lifestyle match. If I don't beat you, then you can cut fire.
Oh, I guess he was talking about the Iceman.
Michael Hayes, of course, referring to the third free bird. The ball was out.
Right, no bunny because his hair is on fire.
Buddy Robert. One ball, 45-minute time limit for the coveted American Tag Team Championship.
The coveted American Tag Team
Georgia,
I like how the six-man, the world six-man titles, Warrior titles, it was just a trophy.
Yeah.
A trophy that probably got destroyed 100 times.
41 pounds, Michael.
Don't the American tag team titles look exactly like the Texas title almost?
Yeah. I just thought that meant the promotion was cheap or something.
60 pounds,
Harry Hunter, the Modern Day Warrior. He was never a heel in Texas, was he? Or in world class?
Yeah, not in world class. You. Southwest, it would depend. Sometimes he'd come in as a heel, sometimes he'd come in as a face. More as a face, though. You know? I remember he was a heel when Southwest had kind of died, and it was like Texas All-Star, and they tried to, that's back when Shawn Michaels was part of the American Force, and Tugboat was like the Terminator, and they actually tried, and they brought, like, they brought in a bunch of people, like they brought in Brody and Chris Adams and Austin Idol and the guys from Puerto Rico and it was actually pretty cool, but you know, no one stayed too long, and then it just pretty much died after that. But I think it came down to like Brody and Chris Adams for like their championship, so I think Brody won as a heel. Because Terry was his little juke when he would throw punches.
I remember that guy, they called him King Kong Brody. They didn't want to use the name Bruiser.
Oh, yeah,
they called him King Kong Brody. They didn't want to use the name the Bruiser. That's so stupid.
That's like, that's kind of like the early, like, you know, the WWE does that like a lot now. You know, you really can't have more than people use the same name. But that was like actually like the first time that they had like kind of like gimmick infringement.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they made Bam Bam Bigelow a Russian in World Class. They used the Bam Bam name.
Right. What was the name? For sure, your call.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just remember, like, everyone, wherever he went, they'd always, like, oh, he's so agile, he can do this, he can do that. It's like, okay, he did a splash, and he did, like, a roll, and that was it. Like, I
yeah, they wouldn't let him do any of that stuff in world class, because it was, like, baby face stuff.
But you really should think he was doing that kind of stuff anyway, I mean.
Michael Hayes walked out of it.
That's Michael Hayes begging, backing away from Brody, and Brody just attacking him.
Oh,
then start throwing Gordy out like nothing. And then Brody with the drop kick. That's one thing he did. He always did like one-handed body slams. He was like a lot stronger than he looked. And see, he's doing it to Gordy, basically. That's a pinning house on both of them.
Everybody out. He
booed everybody away. I'm trying to think the first time I saw Brody. I remember
watching
the AWA. The what?
The AWA is probably where I first saw him.
I probably saw him, like I said, he's going everywhere, so I don't know if I saw him in Southwest or Georgia first. I mean, he basically went all over the country. He never, like, stayed for more than that. It's like, I think World Class would be like when he would stay the longest. Like, he'd stay in World Class for a while, he'd go to Japan for a while, but everywhere else, like, he'd go to Georgia for a couple of weeks. He'd go to St. Louis for a couple of weeks. He'd go to Kansas City, you know.
Well, he didn't go anywhere he wanted. You know, he was one of those guys that could, like, he was, like, high demand, like, you know, like him or the Road Warriors or somebody back then.
Yeah. And, I wonder how many times he wrestled Abdullah the Butcher.
Oh, I don't know.
Gary was a duck. Gary could move, man, before the accident.
Mm-hmm.
He moved better than any guy who has ever jacked up.
Not for long.
You know, for most guys who were jacked up, they're like real stiff, but Gary was like the most athletic, jacked up monster, you know, there was. So, I prefer his physique over Nick Luger's. Oh, wow. Basically, it looked like Terry, like Brody was about to body slam Terry, and then he threw him on Hayes and got the pin. That's the one thing about, like, World Class. The main events were never, like, the longest matches.
Yeah, it kind of just got right to the point.
Yeah. Like, they'd always have, like, the main event, and they'd always have, like, a working match. Like, that was before, like, the first World Class show I ever went to, I remember the working match was, like, a Wild Bill Irwin against Al Majuro. And they had, like, a long, awesome match, and then, like, the main events were usually pretty quick, pretty short.
Can you have the other one set up?
Actually, you know, we've kind of been on, like, for a while, and my throat's actually kind of killing me. I don't know if I can go another half hour. So
okay, that's fine.
Maybe we can do that another time, but you should still watch it. I mean, it's badass. What's awesome about the match is just, like, the sound in the background, because there's this, like, pitch of, like, this high pitch of cheers. And I swear to God, for 30 minutes, it never fucking stops. It's like,
oh, really?
It's like you'll hear the girl. It's like the girls screaming. It's not like annoying either. I don't mean it like that, but it's like you hear this pitch and it never subsides. It just like goes on and even gets louder and louder at times. And it's an awesome. It's a 2 out of 3s match that was on, like, it was a 4th of July, and I really one of the things that I really liked about it was just the entrance, because the Freebirds, they didn't use Bad Street, and they didn't use Freebird. They, on the 4th of July in Dallas, Texas, they started the match with Willie Nelson singing Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia on My Mind.
Yeah, Georgia on My Mind, which is an awesome song. I mean, it's one of Willie's best fucking songs, but it's like, it was kind of like a fuck you to Texas, you know what I mean, on 4th of July. I had Willie Nelson singing Georgia, you know what I mean? It's like, it was one of those like, ooh.
The Freebirds, Von Erich deal, it was like a college football rivalry, you know?
Yeah.
Like Texas and Oklahoma or something.
Yeah, yeah. And for the most part, it was, you know, all like, you know, it's not like when the WWE was in America and in Canada when we came back and forth. It's not like, well, class was in Dallas and then Georgia one day, Atlanta the other day. It was all, you only got the one perspective. But I mean, it's just like the hatred that they had. I mean, it was.
Well, they would say they had matches in Georgia, but they don't actually have the matches.
That's where they would win the title. You know, the Von Erichs would be champions, and then all of a sudden the Freebirds would be, oh, yeah, we won in Atlanta. Didn't have the title. Which is actually pretty smart, you know what I mean?
And back then you could get away with it. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I don't know how many times, like, I'd read an Observer in later years, and there was every match I thought actually happened was like a phantom title change, where the match never happened. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the most famous phantom match ever is, like, Pat Patterson winning that tournament in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, Rio de Janeiro. I was surprised they never came up with, like, a fake bracket that had everybody who was in it or whatever. But
if you're going to lie big, you know.
Right.
Might as well say it was on the moon. They had a tournament on the moon for the first ever Intercontinental Championship.
That'd be funny. Hey, so are you going to come down to San Antonio for lockdown?
I'm thinking about it. That's right around WrestleMania, though, right?
What's that?
Is that around WrestleMania?
It's before WrestleMania.
Before WrestleMania?
I think it's in March. WrestleMania is in April. I think this is in March.
March.
Yeah. I'm thinking Matt Clary and this other guy, Chris, who we went to the WrestleMania in Houston, are coming down from Houston. And
I don't think they're drawing 70,000 to the Alamo Dome.
Well, everyone's laughing at TNA doing it at the Alamo Dome, but last year I saw fucking Lucha Libre USA have a show at the Alamo Dome, which is even more absurd.
Maybe they can do the Taco Bell coupons like at the Royal Rumble and get everybody there.
Right. But so when they actually scale it back, it's actually not that bad. I mean, it actually...
Yeah.
It's... At first, I thought they were doing the old Spurs configuration, but they kind of even made it smaller. But it actually looks pretty cool. I mean, and then I think they end up getting a good amount of fans in there. I'm looking at couple thousand at least.
Yep.
And I think that'd come out all right and stuff. And then since lockdown's like, isn't lockdown all the cage matches?
Yeah, that's like your second biggest pay-per-view next to the Bound for Glory show. So.
Yeah, so they should have like an ex, like what do you call it, like, you know, an ex, what do you call it, an expo or like the fan fest thing?
Yeah, they usually do have, for those, for since it's one of the biggest ones, they usually do have it, if something like that, so.
Yeah, so we could all like hit up a fucking Mexican restaurant or something, and then, or like, I could take everyone to the place where they have like the biggest chicken fried steak. We could smoke some weed and go check out the show. But yeah, I wasn't watching TNA last night. I was watching the Spurs game. I was watching the Spurs game on TV and then doing something else. And then I get a text, and this one guy, he said, "Are you going to lockdown?" And I was like, "What? The fuck is this dude talking about?" I was like, what? He was all, and then he sends another text that's kind of vague again. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I was like, oh, wait a minute, TNA's on right now. Maybe they're having like that, and that's, you know, he ended up telling me that's what it was. He was off.
Yeah.
I was like, well, shit, when did tickets go on sale? And he told me, he's like, well, I don't even know. I'm not watching live. And just Thrasher got excited and told me to text you. So that'd be cool. I'm going to see Thrasher at WrestleMania, but maybe if Hulk Hogan gets to wrestle, maybe Thrasher will come to San Antonio to lockdown. But yeah, that's actually pretty cool. There's a SmackDown coming in January, too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So, should be a fun year for wrestling.
Yep.
And stuff. But before we go, I guess we could talk about, I guess it doesn't really affect you, but all I know is, like, this past week at work was, like, the most hellacious fucking week of my life, and whoever invented Cyber Monday, they need to put a bullet through his head.
Oh, you're getting in all the shit, like all the Christmas stuff?
Yeah, like usually like an average night for us is about 60 to 65 loads, right?
Mm-hmm.
This whole week we were doing close to 100. So it's like 30 more and like basically like the same time frame. So it's like, you know, we have more people working at one time. They're just like, dude, the boxes are coming like you wouldn't fucking believe. And then yesterday, we almost had this near disaster because, like, basically the packages come, like, on a belt that's kind of like a roller coaster, basically, or, like, around the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we start getting these fucking, you know those fucking cars that the kids have nowadays, the motorized cars?
Like the little kids?
Yeah, little kids, they get in the car as battery powered. They then they're actually big ass. These things are like the size of a dresser, dude. So, I'm like, I'm there, we're working our ass off, and all of a sudden, there's no packages for like a few minutes. I'm thinking, oh shit. So I look, and over just like where it's inclining, I see one of those boxes all fucked up, and I see everything piled up around it. And I just see a whole bunch of them coming, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And then they kind of, like, have to take a turn. And they kept getting stuck, so we had to keep stopping the belt and going over there and breaking the jam. And then when they send the packages to my area, like, they put it on this thing, and one side goes to my area, another side, the side next to it goes to another area. Well, when the packages are that big, they kind of mix up. And all these boxes that kept jamming up, these giant fucking car, truck things or whatever weren't even in our area. It was like, fuck. So we got these giant-ass packages, a ton of fucking million little ones. It was just like, fucking, it was like a war, dude. It's like, that's what work is like during Christmas. It's like a fucking war. And I work, like, you know, I'm usually the first one, well, actually, like, the second one to leave, because one guy was, like, actually, I have a little more seniority than me, but I'm usually, you know, so I can go do the paper route. But this is probably going to be the biggest check I've ever made from UPS. I mean, I actually can't wait to get it just to see how much it is. I mean, because goddamn, it's fucking, it's just a fucking madhouse. It's only the first fucking week, so. Luckily, this coming week, I get a few days off because of my little minor surgery thing I'm having. But, yeah, it's just like, I hate Christmas time.
I say when you gotta have surgery, when surgery counts for like a vacation.
The what?
You know, when surgery counts for like vacation, you know, thank God I'm having surgery, I'll get a few days off.
Right? I mean, I only have to deal with like a dude cutting me open, but it'd be worth it just to have a few days off, especially this fucking week. And then I was actually going to miss this coming Sunday because my thing is Monday, my appointment's Monday. So I was thinking of just missing, you know, Sunday and getting away with it, basically, because it's like, I'm going to the doctor Monday anyway, right? So he tells me, start time 6:45, which is usually we start at 8, so that's how much earlier. So we got to start earlier. And I was like, you know my surgery is Monday, right? And he's all, I thought it was Wednesday. I go, no, it's Monday. He's all, why is it on Monday? I go, I feel something scared to it. And he's like, dude, please come in. I'll let you go at 12 so you get a little bit. Please, if you just start begging me to come in. I was like, all right, asshole. I'll fucking come in. So I'm going to work Sunday, and then I'm going to try and convince the doctor to give me till like Thursday, which is like the last day we work that week. So at least I'll get 3 days off
vacation.
And then my birthday.
Best vacation I ever had from work was when I had a stroke.
Yeah.
Because I got to sleep in, and only thing that I had to do was like get up and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and go to physical therapy rehab, and so I was living it up. I was kind of upset when I got full movement back on the left side of my body.
You kind of sound like Peach from last week. He tells me, "Oh, I'm going to tell you a funny story." My parents' house burnt down. And I was like, what? Oh, I'm supposed to have a funny story. But.
Yeah, I didn't have any of that. It wouldn't involve any of that Black Friday bullshit nonsense last week. I don't want nothing to do with all that mess. I'll just pay full price for everything. I don't care. Don't make a shit to me.
Yeah, I hate that shit. Speaking of which, it's like, you know, everyone gets Thanksgiving off, and I did get it off from UPS, but fucking, because basically all the coupons for Black Friday, you get on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
So on fucking Thanksgiving, I had to throw the biggest newspaper that I've ever thrown in my life. This thing, and then you're not just throwing, like, Thursday is part of the weekend draw here. But you're not just throwing the weekend, you're throwing it like it's the Sunday. So I got to throw everybody. So I got this giant-ass newspaper that I can't, it's like this paper is so big, it's like a regular-sized paper, I can barely get everything in my car now. Like, I picked up, like, a new route, and then I had a, check this out. There's this, some asshole who's actually pretty smart. He goes around, like, selling the subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker went to like almost all these apartments in San Antonio, and he got like, you know, real customers, but he also found every vacant apartment, and he signed them up because don't get paid for signing them up, and then like, you know, like maybe 90 days or whatever later when they finally send a bill because they're on a special for like so long, so much for free, you know what I mean? And
yep.
Then they find out they're not a real customer. So like, I got all these fucking apartments. And like I said, like more than half of them are vacant, but I still have to fucking deal with taking that shit out of there. So I had to make two fucking trips, man. It fucking sucks so bad. I didn't finish till like fucking like 8 o'clock that day. It's like, fuck, I should be getting the day off, and I actually have to work harder because of it and shit. and then still throw a Sunday paper on Sunday. So it's like, fuck, dude. Anyway, I'm just glad that's over with, and hopefully this next 4 weeks will go by fast, and then I can not work so hard, damn it. But I think next week we'll be doing a show, because our part-time co-host, Craig, is always too busy to be doing something, wants to do it on Saturday, and... So maybe we'll probably do it sometime Saturday afternoon. We'll let everyone know by Friday for sure what the plan is. And
all right.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say or talk about real quick?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let everyone go, and we'll talk to everybody sometime next week.
Mm-hmm.